piping porridge. Here's to the biscuit tot. Here's to the java flowing like lava out of the coffee pot. Here's to the eggs and bacon. Here's to the waffles unique. And here's three rousing cheers for the best meal of the week. For it's Sunday morning, breakfast time, the time all men adore.
Hi, I'm John Jackson.
And I'm Greg Patton.
And we're the food guys. One of the strangest kinds of vegetables, the parsnip. It's just a kind of unlikely looking thing, gnarled and twisty and so forth.
It is. It kind of looks like an anemic carrot.
It has great virtue.
It's wonderful. It's quite wide at the top.
Yes.
Much wider than a carrot would be.
Yeah, and narrows to a much narrower bottom.
They're an entirely underappreciated vegetable.
Well, of course they are. What I'm beginning to think from reading about it and looking into it is that I've never really tasted the great parsnips. Now, those parsnips would be the ones that were left in the ground over winter and then were dug out. My dad, he had a nice little root cellar that he built out in the backyard, and he would harvest his parsnips in a sense, that is to say, he would dig them up and he would transport them before winter actually set in into his root cellar in soil and keep them there. They were old orange crates or something that he had the soil in. They were just in there, and he would go in there and get whenever he wanted some, get these parsnips out. And I suppose that probably was as close as I ever came to the great parsnip. But I think the ones that we're getting in the supermarket never really matured in the way that they could be.
I think we have to wait for the winter and have them dug up after they've actually had a chance to overwinter in the soil because they turn sweeter.
Yes.
And the parsnip is really notable for its sweetness. They're wonderful roasted, peeled, cut into chunks, mixed with some olive oil and salt, put in an oven of, say, 400 degrees for 30 minutes or so. They'll get a nice caramelized surface from the surface sugars.
Yeah.
And then they make the absolutely wonderful roasted root vegetable. They also make a great puree. If you find that the parsnip is too sweet, then you can make a mixture of half and half of, say, parsnip and potato. That makes an absolutely wonderful mashed dish that you can flavor any way that you want. I've also made parsnip chips, where I will peel the parsnip and then I will slice them on my mandolin, you know, the really thin slicer, and then give them a quick deep fry. And they're wonderful that way because they're naturally sweet.
You don't have to salt in them?
Put salt on it after they've drained. Very quick to do and quite wonderful.
I was looking at a recipe just the other day that suggests chopping them rather finely and mixing them with an egg and some milk in order to make a paste that you can then sauté.
Like a little cake.
They suggested maybe add a little flour to let them adhere a little bit so you can have them function more or less like a pancake and serve them with a little syrup on the side, you know. And I thought, holy cow, that sounds really good.
Yeah, I would just shred them and then mix them with a little bit of egg and flour. That would work really nicely. And you could make them as thick or as thin as you wanted, depending upon how much liquid you would put in there with them.
Yeah. And that would be nice sautéed in butter and then put in there.
And the parsnip, I hope I'm getting this right. They were used in Greece and in Rome.
Yes. It's a very ancient vegetable. And it was actually transported to the Americas in about the 16th century.
It's not native to the Americas. It was brought here.
Nonetheless, the Native Americans took to it right away, and it became a staple of their cooking and their eating. We've probably missed out on that in some way. But to get back to my original point, I have a feeling that the parsnips that we're getting in the supermarket are probably not the mature ones that would give us the great kind of flavor and taste that we wanted. I use them typically in a stew, especially a beef stew of some sort, any kind of roast. They add a definite little sweetness, but at the same time, they're spicy. You know, they have a little bit of spiciness
to them, yes.
So they complement very well things like rutabagas or turnips or carrots that you might put in a stew or put in with
and
a roast.
Soup, too. Yeah. It makes a wonderful soup.
I think it does make a terrific.
And you can make either a parsnip soup all by itself, or you could add some potato to it as well for help with the texture and maybe to cut some of the sweetness. And it makes a terrific custard. If you cook the parsnip and you make a puree, and then you can add egg and milk to it and then bake it in little custard cups in a hot water bath, and then you can unmold it and serve it as a side dish.
Well, that sounds terrific. There's an old saying that that doesn't butter any parsnips. Have you ever heard that?
I have not heard that.
Yeah. I heard it quite a bit in my childhood. And basically what it meant was that what you're saying sounds like intelligence, but in fact, that's not as smart as you think it is. It's not buttering any parsnips for
I
us.
See.
It brought to mind a kind of vivid image of parsnips being buttered and then eaten. And they are tasty that
very
way.
Tasty that way.
Very tasty that way. I think it's an overlooked vegetable that we should pay a little bit more
eat
attention.
Eat your parsnips.
They're very plentiful in the
yes,
supermarkets.
Yes, they are.
I
very
all
plentiful.
The time. You got to watch out for that woodiness that gets into the larger ones.
The larger ones, right. If you're using a larger one, make sure that you cut it lengthwise. And if there's a woody pith, cut it out
just
before you cook it.
Take that out.
Yes,
you know,
take
you
it out.
Take it out with that little rounded part of an apple peeler or something like that is an easy way to do it. So you've got some clues how to use parsnips. Do that, and then come back next week for
The Food Guys.
Guys.